everyone. Welcome back to Coffee and Crime with me, Izzy.
And me, Colette.
So today is my episode and I'm not doing a murder this time.
I'm proud. So, is this your first non-murder?
Yeah. Was yours
Lucky Luciano?
Yeah.
Technically, I mean, he was still a murderer, but like not a...
Not like a...
Typical murderer. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm losing my voice.
Well, more like murder for financial and gain and like power than... Anyway, than fun.
Is there any murder in this?
Well,
no,
not really. Apparently,
okay,
but not really.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, the whole thing is like, oh, let's just start.
Okay,
right. So this, I don't know if you've heard of it, but this is about the daycare sex abuse hysteria in the 80s and 90s.
No, I've literally never.
I've never heard of this. I thought it was really crazy because I found out about one case and then I just found like the whole thing. Right, so in the 80s and 90s, a bout of hysteria erupted in America.
Maybe I have heard about this, actually.
Just listen and see.
Okay.
You probably won't know each of the individual
cases. Yeah, no, I don't.
Anyway, so, accusations of daycare sex abuse, often even supposedly as part of satanic cult rituals, were thrown about.
This links with my last one. We said we needed it.
We're linking perfectly. Yeah. Wow, this is amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a perfect chain.
I know. Mine's gonna ruin it, but...
Maybe you'll find something to link it. Maybe. We'll see. Right. So accusations were thrown about with loads of convictions being made. According to those seeing the scandal unfold, America was experiencing an epidemic, although actually, in reality, less than 1% of instances of sex abuse occur in daycare centres.
Okay.
Even though they were saying there was like an epidemic, in reality, literally of all cases, like 1% actually occur there. And also, obviously, there's not just kind of randomly being
loads. Daycare, is that like where kids
like childcare
stay?
Like looking after, so when you like look after the kids, usually like really young ones,
sitting, but not quite,
but like as an organization.
Yeah
They're all sort of in
like a nursery.
Yeah, they're sort like some that you'd have like some slightly older kids as well, but basically when your parents go to work, leave them. So despite the fact that there was an absurd lack of physical evidence, parents and local communities insisted that, well, their catchphrase was, "We believe the children."
Okay. I feel like that's fair enough, though, if it's your own child.
Yeah, well...
Not fair
I'm
enough.
Not sure if you will when you hear the rest of it. I mean, yes, still fair enough, sort of. Okay, so I'll just go right into the cases, because I think that's a good place to start. So the very first case... So overall, the string of cases spanned, like, two decades, I think?
Yeah, you said 80s.
80s and 90s, but it was, like, the whole thing. So in 1982, Debbie McEwen and her husband Alvin were accused of sexual abuse against their two daughters. So Debbie was, she ran a small daycare centre, and this was called the Kern County case. There was like quite a few Kern County cases basically, but this one was the McEwen-Kniffen one. Kniffen, it's really hard to say. Maybe it's just Niffen, actually.
That's what I was thinking, because it's...
That's so stupid.
Is it spelt like knife?
Yeah, that's just what came into my head, because I remember...
Yeah,
My dad always saying Kniff for some reason, I don't know, as a joke, like hilarious joke.
Yeah, that probably is, yes, Niffen.
Niffen. We're going with Niffen, because it makes a lot more sense than Kniffen, now that I say that. We're so bad at this. Okay, anyway.
Super professional podcast. We can't even read words.
Thank you for helping me with that, because... Right. So the oldest of their daughters, Becky, had previously accused her grandfather, Rod Phelps, of abuse, and that had been proven to be true.
Proven.
Proven? Proved?
No, it is proven, but you said proven.
Oh, shut up. Right. Which had been proved, I've written here. Okay, which had been proved to be true by the family doctor. Charges were never... Like, by looking at damage done. Because I think... Yeah, you can tell somehow. I don't know.
But I remember that people always used to say that, like, you could tell if someone was a virgin, like, if their hymen had broken.
That literally comes up, because obviously you can't tell
by that. That's bullshit. You can do that riding a bike.
Yeah, exactly. Or it just happens sometimes, So, yeah, but there might have been, like, semen samples or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, charges were never pressed against him because he lived outside the area, which is brilliant.
What?
These were, like, really young girls, by the way. They didn't say their age, but anywhere, but they are
why
young.
Why weren't charges pressed?
I don't know. A police report was
like
filed, but they just...
their jurisdiction.
Yeah,
but
they just never filed it. I don't know.
You pass it over to the next jurisdiction. Sure.
Well, the mother, so Debbie, she was concerned.
Okay.
Still. And so she got a counsellor for her daughter.
Oh.
But... so Debbie's stepmother, so Rod
this is
Phelps
so confusing.
Is going to get confusing, but Rod Phelps was on the father's side.
Oh,
he was
okay, yeah.
The father's father.
Paternal
grandfather, thank you. And Mary Ann Barber, mm-hmm. who's another one we're introducing now, mm-hmm. she was Debbie, so that was the mother,
mm-hmm.
her stepmother.
Maternal step-grandma.
Step-grandma, yeah. So she didn't feel like enough was being done about the situation.
Wait,
she was like
the
yeah because the mother had obviously got so Debbie
yeah
do you think you can remember the name Debbie had got this counselor, but the step grandmother Marianne
yeah
didn't think that was enough. She was pretty like
okay
pissed at that basically because she was like
that's quite nice though for it to be like it's not even like it's like her step grandchildren
yeah
to
it's
be that concerned
so nice when she. So she called an anti-child abuse... this isn't funny, sorry. The coming up bit. She called anti-child abuse group Mothers of Bakersfield and she got, like, sort of a relationship with the spokeswoman
mm-hmm.
who's called Jill Haddad. Haddad? Not even a difficult one to say.
No.
and she demanded that social services investigate Debbie.
Oh.
So that they could... she wanted them to revoke Debbie's childcare licence.
Oh.
Yeah. But they didn't find anything out, like,
but
major.
Why would you want that?
Because she didn't think she was doing enough, I don't know. But they didn't find anything majorly out of order. But Marianne wanted custody of her grandchildren. Because she thought... and also...
that's why.
Because... yeah, here it is, actually. The McEwans, so the parents of the two girls, took the girls to go see their grandparents, as in including the one who sexually abused them. Like, on a visit.
Yeah, wait, so that's Debbie and her husband?
Yeah, Debbie and Alvin took them, yeah. So, basically, Marianne was not happy with that. She wanted custody.
Yeah.
She filed for child endangerment charges
mm-hmm.
against the McEwans.
Okay.
Because they took them to go see the guy, you know, who abused them.
But did they know that he was abusing them at the time?
Yeah, because
oh.
it had been, like, you know, they took him to the doctor. Took her to the doctor.
So it had been
so
proven
knew,
at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah,
yeah,
it had been proven at this point. So that's not very good.
I assumed it was just like the kids had said and she still took him.
No. It had literally been, it was proved. Yeah. So she was successful in gaining custody in March 1982. But, she had a history of psychosis and around the time was actually admitted to a psychiatric ward. As a result of this, so she apparently had a psychotic break.
Yeah.
And new welfare worker Carla Fogel decided after one phone call with Marianne that she, even despite her psychosis, that she was fit to, you know, take
after
on these...
after one phone call?
Yeah, one phone call, she said, yep, take that custody.
But you
take
normally,
the children.
Normally they, like, go to their house and they do, like...
I don't know
to
if
make
she...
sure that the house is fit for kids, because she could be a hoarder.
I mean, maybe it's because it was... due to the job. She could also be, unfit to parent or guard, you know, be a guardian for them if she has, like,
she
you know, mental
have,
illness.
Yeah, and she could have, like, really violent dogs. She could have...
she could have anything. Literally anything.
She could... right. Crazy scenario. But she could have a load of kids locked in her basement and they would have absolutely no idea.
Well, we'll see what her character is like now. Okay. Because, so... Kern County officials investigated the McEwans. They asked the girls about the abuse,
mm-hmm.
and they said not only had Rod Phelps abused them, but also their father.
Oh.
So child endangerment charges were filed. That's hard to say, somehow. And the allegations continued. They just got worse and worse.
Yeah. Wait, do you know roughly how old the girls were? Like, under 10, over 10? Just...
Under 10.
Okay.
I would say. They were young, pretty much. It just didn't specify.
I just wanted, like, a rough idea in my head.
I'm not exactly sure, but they were definitely, like, you know, children.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that I couldn't find out. But anyway, so Alvin had a close friend called Scott Niffen, not Kniffen, and he asked him to be a character witness. Niffen was married to Brenda, who was a full-time homemaker, who taught Bible school and was a room mother at school, and they had 2 sons, 6 and 9, and they shared, like, they were a close family, like, they shared interests in sports and camping and stuff. Right, so when Marianne found out that Alvin was calling Scott as a character witness, she decided to implicate the Niffens and claimed they were all part of a child sex abuse ring.
Oh my, that's quite, like, that's quite a big allegation to make.
Yeah,
if you have, like, it doesn't sound like she has any... Not only are you saying that they abuse children, but if they have a sex ring, that
yeah,
can,
and
like,
that other people are, I think they were, she was saying other people were part of it, just she didn't name anyone else.
Yeah, but
that's
even
huge.
If
oh, she did later actually.
Like, even if it never goes to trial, he could then never get a job. Well, not never get a job.
I think that's the thing with all of this. Like, being accused of any crime is terrible.
Yeah,
but sex abuse involving
children.
It just kind of makes you feel gross,
like
thinking
in
about
your
it,
community
and
it's
so, like, obviously for obvious reasons,
yeah.
it's a really stigmatized crime.
Yeah, well,
so
that's
like,
what,
how horrible would you?
When I did a dissertation about solitary confinement, the most common criminals to get put in solitary confinement are child sex abusers,
really,
because
yeah.
they just get murdered, which is like Jeffrey Dahmer got
murdered in
prison.
I was watching
prison.
This like child. Like children in prison, children
yeah.
like teenagers
yeah.
mostly, but you know, under 18s or under 21s or whatever, and then they all like got along apart from the child molesters. They were, they nicknamed them like the Chomos, like, I guess child
yeah.
molesters. And they had to be separate.
Yeah, because
yeah,
it is just
because it's horrible.
It is a really stigmatizing.
Yeah,
but then if he did do it, obviously he deserves to never work again. And he, but it just seems like she's kind of plucking.
Oh, let's keep going.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to come together soon,
okay.
don't worry. I know it's just a bit
this
of like random info, but...
ending.
So the two girls supported the allegation.
Okay.
And they kept questioning the girls. And basically they, you know, brought in more things. You know, they kept saying more things. So apparently they had been hung from hooks, forced into child porn and beaten with belts and sold to strangers in the motels. But... there was absolutely no physical evidence for this.
But then, there's like, what physical evidence would there be?
If they've been beaten with belts, I'll come into it. Just,
okay.
just listen. Sorry, that just listen, Colette. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying, like, it will make sense.
Okay.
So, the sons of the Niffens denied the claims against their parents until the police questioned them, telling them they already knew the truth. They separated them and said the other had already confessed.
Oh,
so they,
no.
And it, they said, you can go home if you tell us.
And
they're
they were six and nine.
Nine is... But, you know, still. They're basically being
six,
bullied into
yeah.
this. So they say, yeah, they were guilty. They agree. Even though they've retracted that later.
But then they're going to lose their parents because then they're going to be... like,
yeah, of course, yeah.
It's difficult because if you don't confess and you think you're going to be shut in there forever. And if you do... confess.
I think
whatever.
You just don't understand the situation. Like,
yeah.
I think they got, I'm pretty sure they got told, like, they can go home, like, as in to normal life.
Yeah.
Like, with,
yeah.
I guess they assumed their parents would be part of that.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine the police didn't explicitly say,
no, you'll go home to your parents.
Yeah,
but,
because,
you know, like, you can
yeah.
go home, it'll be
you
fine.
Assume.
So the girls also claimed many other adults, so including Rod and Linda Phelps, that's their grandparents, they claimed they were part of it. They claimed Alvin's brothers, Larry and Tommy. Social worker Betty Palko, who was she was the social worker who didn't suspend Debbie's license, and her boyfriend Larry Walker, who worked with Alvin.
There's a lot of Larrys in here.
Yeah, there is actually. I've just noticed that. So they claimed they were all involved, despite the fact that the Niffens actually, of all the people in this apparent sex ring, they only knew the McEwans. So on April the 6th, I just had to include the names; they sound cool. Velda Murillo. And
that's a very cool name.
Deputy Betty Shaney Felt drove.
Shaney Felt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Drove Becky around to the suspect's
Wait,
homes.
Who's Becky? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I should have clarified. The older daughter.
Okay.
I think that came up like right at the
yeah.
start. She was the one who apparently got abused by.
Sorry, this is me trying to.
It's
remember.
So many names. Yeah.
That's Thingamabob and Alvin's daughter.
Debbie and
Debbie.
Alvin's
okay.
daughter. Yeah. So they
I was
drove
Linda and I was like,
no,
right.
they drove them to the suspect's homes, and they said, tell us, like, where can we find evidence? Okay. So, basically, they got to, like, understand that if they said certain things, the attorneys and the police officers and everything, they would praise them. And they started to like that. They started to understand what they wanted to hear. So, they got to the Niffen residence, and Becky said, you'll find porn pictures and movies mm-hmm. and a dildo. There was no... They searched for 8 hours.
How big was the house?
They were really desperate to find evidence, pretty much. They found no child porn at all. No movie cameras.
But then he could have had them not at his house. Sorry, am I...
No, it's just that... Basically, there was no evidence. Like, there was no rope burns, no marks. They'd been apparently strung up to a railing. There was no marks. There was no hooks strong enough to support their weight. There was no physical trauma found to their bodies, aside what they'd already found from Rod on Becky.
Yeah, but it sounds... Basically, it seems odd to me for such young girls to make up.
After an attorney for the defence was able to talk to the girls, they confessed they'd only accused Tommy because Marianne had told them
to. Who's Tommy?
The brother of Alvin.
Okay.
They said, we only accused him because Marianne told us to. And after that, no defence was allowed to have access to them again. No defence attorney. God. So, they were tried together in 1984 after waiting a year for their case to be brought to trial.
Who was tried, sorry?
The McEwans and Niffens.
Oh, okay. But, yeah.
And the children all testified against them, along with medical testimony from this doctor, Dr. Bruce Woodling. And he said there was what's called, like, a wink response in their anuses. I don't know what that is. According to him, proved that there had been, like, anal penetration.
Mm-hmm. Why did they have to name it wink response? Because
I wasn't sure what it was. It doesn't matter. It's just some medical apparent test. And prosecutor Andrew Gindes? What do you think?
Gindes. Yeah, that'll do.
Prosecutor Andrew Gindes, his actions also secured their conviction because he claimed that anyone defending them, the McEwans and Niffens, was a child molester.
Oh!
And he said that the children, like, what they knew of sex was advanced beyond their years, so, you know, this must prove sexual abuse, except he didn't acknowledge the fact that he'd used anatomically correct dolls and he bought a dildo to bring into the... He bought one what? Himself to bring into the, like, interviews.
Yeah.
So that would obviously provide them with some knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, asking questions and everything. And he also made a false claim that Scott Niffen's father had disposed of evidence for them, basically, despite the fact that that would be impossible, apparently, for whatever reasons. And he introduced new impossible charges, and he brought them to, like, huge media attention so that the public would all see these charges, and then he quietly dropped them after so that it would, like, look like they were accused of way more, and then he dropped them subtly so no one would know.
Are you even allowed to do that? Surely you're not.
He managed it anyway. And they were all sentenced to over 200 years, and they're...
200...
Yeah.
I remember when we did the Jerry Brudos episode, and
he got
7 months for originally. He got something stupid, didn't he?
Basically, someone else, you know, talking about this, I learned a new word. They said in these cases, like, draconian charges were pressed against people, which just means completely, like, unfair.
Yeah.
Blown out of the water lengths.
I mean, if they are running a child sex ring, definitely give them 200 but they years, had please.
No evidence at all, because their appeals were, like, denied for years, but this was even after both the Niffen boys came forward in 1992 mm-hmm. and said they'd been pressured into false testimony. They said their parents hadn't done anything.
I feel so conflicted.
And the following year, the defendants presented evidence that wink response did not prove that any anal penetration, it was not evidence.
Okay.
It's not actually true, because it's the same. It can happen in people who haven't been sexually abused.
That's what I always think, like, with the, like, hymen being a virgin thing. But so if it's not broken, then chances are you're a virgin. But if it is broken,
it doesn't mean that you're not. Yeah, exactly.
So it works, like, one way, but not the other.
Yeah. But it's like these little arrows in maths, you know?
Mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So finally, in 1996, all charges against them were dropped because, yeah, basically because of all the new things brought out, like
mm-hmm.
the witnesses had retracted what they've said and everything. The Niffens later sued Kern County and settled for $275,000. That is dead.
But if you did it, that's a decent...
Right. What's her name? Marianne,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. It's understood now. She got the girls to testify against their parents because she wanted custody. Because mm-hmm. she made up the whole sex ring thing.
Is it kind of like that... I just forget what it's called. It's not Stockholm Syndrome. It's, oh, for God's sake. That thing where, like, mothers make their children sick because they like the sympathy older. That you get.
Yeah.
Do you know, true. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I have.
Munchausen's by proxy.
Oh, I'd never there heard of the name, but I wouldn't remember it, but yeah.
Is it maybe a bit like...
I think it's... Because another reason that they were... Their appeal was, like, finally... You know, they were finally granted freedom was because she had psychosis and that wasn't disclosed.
Yeah.
And so that means she could have... It could be, like, a delusion, basically. Because she just became convinced that they'd done this when they only...
How long were they in prison for?
So, they got out in... So, they got out in 1996 and they were tried in 1984...
So 12 years.
Yeah, I was about to say 14, I can't add. So yeah, approximately 12 years, basically.
And then all their kids are going to be like 20-ish.
Yeah, I mean, how much does that destroy your relationship? Your kids have falsely testified against you.
And then when you're out, they're fully grown.
There's some of these cases where there's like controversy, but that's pretty much...
Okay.
I think that's pretty much almost certain that they were just coerced into confessing. Because if there's absolutely no evidence, there is nothing. So the next case I've gone into in detail again, and then other ones I haven't because it just take too much time. But I just thought this was an interesting one.
Okay.
And this is the case that really began the hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the next one after the Kern County one. There was actually more Kern County ones as well, but that was the sort of first.
Okay.
And this was the notorious McMartin preschool trial in California, beginning in 1983.
Okay.
So, just a little note, the preschool had been open for 20 years before this with absolutely zero complaints about anything.
Had they hired anyone new?
No, because it was owned by a woman called, oh God, what's her name? Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia McMartin.
Virginia Woolf, surprise.
On Wikipedia it said Virginia. I was like, I'm sure that's not her name. I need to check. But... It said it, like, only once, I think. Yeah, so Virginia McMartin was the founder of the preschool. Peggy McMartin Bucky was her daughter. And she was the administrator.
Okay.
And
wait, Peggy or the mum? Virginia.
Peggy, because Virginia was the founder.
Okay.
She was the administrator. And Ray Bucky was then Peggy's son.
Okay.
And this is going to be more names now, so sorry. Great. Forget the old ones, new ones. And Ray Bucky was... He's sort of the main one. He was the son of Peggy. And he was a teacher's aide, I think. So the case stemmed from a single accusation made by Judy Johnson that August. She was the mother of a two-year-old who... This is like a theme. There was a theme through all of them, like lots of different ones. But she was later found to have acute paranoid schizophrenia. Oh. Not exactly psychosis, but, you know, some other mental illness, and she was actually hospitalised for that as well. And just another note, she was found dead in 1986, 3 years later, relating to alcoholism.
Oh.
So yeah, not good. But basically,
oh God.
She became convinced that her son as well had been anally penetrated after he began to have like painful bowel movements.
Okay.
And she was convinced that it was both her ex-husband and someone at the preschool. So... The staff member she decided to accuse was Ray Bucky. He was 25. And the claim was validated by two physicians who found evidence, apparently. But still, aside from that, the evidence against him was pretty non-existent because her son could not identify Ray in pictures And there was no physical...
That's weird, because surely he... Wait, was he at the preschool? Yeah.
So basically, I think Ray wasn't there every day.
Okay.
And obviously this boy wouldn't be there any day. I think he'd been there like 10 times. So he couldn't identify him in pictures. And so they might not have even been there together or something. Yeah. It's weird. But there was no physical sign of abuse on the boy's body. I don't know how that works. Apparently it was validated. I had no signs of like... I think it was like beating or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the only... physical evidence that the police were able to get, they went to his home.
Mm-hmm.
This is like really incriminating. They found a rubber duck.
Oh my god.
A graduation robe, a teddy bear, and Playboy magazines. Playboy, Colette. Adult women, not 2-year-old
yeah,
boys,
and also,
but
do they not know how popular Playboy
yeah, exactly. Like, that doesn't mean you're a sex offender because you... Anyway.
No, that just means that you like porn.
I mean, you still could be. But I'm just saying this is what they actually took as evidence.
Yeah.
Just mean, yeah, exactly. So...
why is it... What is a graduation robe?
Like the robe you get when you graduate.
Yeah, no, I know, yeah. But why did
oh,
they...
Oh, what would they... I don't know. Maybe it was like, you know, sometimes they wear robes in cults.
Oh.
Maybe they thought he wore his graduation robe for his cult activity. But
maybe
basically,
he just really likes Harry Potter and he was like doing some Quidditch.
Yeah, but he might keep his robe, but I just don't care how that's evidence.
I'm very confused. But the rubber duck is probably the weirdest out of the four.
But a teddy bear, that's really innocent. I guess it's a kid's thing.
Do you see my room?
No, but you're not a grown man. And you probably have these from childhood, whereas he's living on his own now, you know?
Oh yeah, true.
She made more accusations. I don't know how she made these accusations. Her son was 2.5. Can 2.5-year-olds speak? Yeah.
I don't know anything about children.
I don't think they can go into this detail. I don't know. Who knows? Well, her other accusations were, you know, do you remember Peggy?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. Peggy drilled a child under the arms.
Drilled?
That's the quote.
Oh.
And
what does that even mean?
Got a drill and drilled them in their underarm. I don't know.
Why?
But also, Colette, don't worry, because the other accusation was that Ray flew in the air. So
I'm so traumatised from the first one and then the second one.
These are just, like, ridiculous claims that they took
seriously.
Why
is that a claim? Like,
I mean, it is sad if she was, like, actually genuinely convinced because of mental illness.
Yeah,
and
obviously.
That's really sad. But the fact that they took it seriously...
Yeah.
As a case.
And then as well, in a way, it's even sadder because they're, like, entertaining her mental
yeah,
illness.
They're not getting her help. They're just...
Yeah, exactly. Kind of not taking the piss out of her, but, like... And then that probably doesn't help her.
Yeah, that probably doesn't, does it? But anyway, yeah, no, it is genuinely sad if she... I don't want to make fun of her actually having mental illness, but the fact that they believe that...
Also,
and
what is
in
wrong
court,
if he does fly? I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, I think it's supposed to be that he's a Satanist and he can do things like fly. I don't know, there's more things. So basically, he was arrested on September the 7th, which I thought was funny because I thought that was the same date as today, but it's not, it's the 6th, so let down. But close, in 1983. But he was quickly released because there was not very much evidence.
Other than some rubber ducks.
Yeah, they can't, you know, use that. And the alleged victim was too young to testify. But the following day, the police made a brilliant move. And they decided to send...
That was sarcastic.
They decided to send a letter home to around 200 parents naming Ray Bucky and requesting that parents ask their children.
God.
They said, ask your children, have they been a victim or a witness of any sexual abuse? Or have you witnessed Bucky leave a classroom alone with a child during nap time or see him tie a child up? That's so leading.
And as well, then that's going to make all the parents be
worry,
like...
Yeah.
Yeah, one, worry, and then be like, well, if he could have done it, they're then going to make stuff up because
they
want
exactly
him
what
to
happened.
Get fired.
Yeah, yeah. So they also requested that they don't discuss it with the McMartins, which is awkward.
Wait, McMartins is Peggy and stuff, yeah.
And...
Him.
He's sort of a McMartin because his parents are McMartin. Right. This is what they decided to do. So, Key McFarlane was the consultant for the Children's Institute International, which basically dealt with sex abuse things.
Mm-hmm.
And she was handed the reins of the investigation, and the parents were compelled to send their children to her for questioning.
Okay.
So, McFarlane questioned around 400 children, and they were asked leading questions and offered rewards for certain answers. So they generally initially denied the abuse, but by March 1984, 200... I think that was actually 300 and I typed it wrong.
Okay, either 200... Between 200 and 300.
Between 284 and 384, even worse, former students, so loads, basically, if they've initially denied it, were found to have been sexually abused at the McMartin preschool. So, you ready? Therapist Sean Connolly told a child in one of these interviews that 183 kids have already revealed yucky secrets, and that all the McMartin teachers...
Why was he talking like that?
To get, I guess, to relate to the kids or whatever. That's they had, like, weird. Puppets in this. Genuinely, they were like, it's so weird. I tried to find good transcripts, but there was only, like, a really long... It wasn't the best example, but they do things like... They have these puppets with all the different names. Like, I think it's, like, Sparky is one of them or something. And... They try and get them to... They try and... I think it's to sort of get rid of the barrier, but talk to them with the puppet. But they say some weird stuff. But that they were all sick in the head and deserved to be beaten up. They told the kids that.
Okay.
I'll tell you some more weird interview shit later. So basically, apparently how it would typically go, I read this, is that the parents wouldn't think there was anything wrong, mm-hmm. but they would take their kid to see Key McFarlane, and then they would start to become convinced that their child had been sexually abused. And parents suggested that bladder infections, nightmares, anatomically correct artwork, or masturbation were confirming...
Yeah, but if they're two...
They're not two, they're all of them. Yeah, if they're two, and that's weird, but they're going to do that, are they? So, like, they said this was evidence of abuse. This was... It is supposed to be a preschool place, but there was other older kids, and I don't understand how that works. That
are
is very weird.
Ex-pupils?
And there's nap time. No, because they're still going there. I find that really weird, but maybe there's daycare as well.
Strange.
But they're basically, they're not all 2.5.
Okay.
But they are young. Yeah, a couple of parents thought, because basically they're not allowed to pick up their kids during nap time.
Okay.
Because...
They're napping.
You don't want to disturb all the kids.
Yeah.
So parents thought that might be when they're doing the abuse. Actually, maybe they are. I don't think they're all 2.5. Maybe they are really young. But anyway, I just, it doesn't seem like... you know, strong enough evidence to convict on. Yeah, so basically, because she was so... Like, she would convince them of things. Mm-hmm. And it said, one prosecutor actually said, Key McFarlane could make a six-month-old baby say he was molested. So basically, she's really persuasive. Yeah. Are you ready for some more of the allegations?
Yay.
Described as incredibly bizarre. Satanic ritual abuse panic had also just started up, so there's, like,
Is
quite
this
a lot
like
of...
the satanic panic era?
Sort of crossover. It's just started up with that, so it's like sort of crossing over. I think people are sort of picking up from that
because this is
and
kind
applying
of
it.
Like Manson.
It is
era.
Really. It's quite close.
I don't know where Manson is, but
no, nor do I.
I think he was like the 80s, maybe?
Something,
maybe
like
90s.
That, yeah.
So it probably is because that's when he like started Satanic Panic.
Oh really?
Or not fully, but obviously he was a
he
cult
was a
leader that was murdering
one,
people.
So they, I think they kind of like. Pick from that a bit with their accusations, but apparently not only had the staff sexually abused the children, they also took them through underground tunnels on hot air balloons.
On hot air balloons in the tunnels?
No, that was like a comma.
Oh, okay.
They did this. They took them on both, and the children saw witches fly. There were car wash and airport orgies. Children were flushed down the toilets to rooms where they were abused, and then they were like cleaned up and returned to their parents at the end of the day, and. Some talked about a game called Naked Movie Star, and Ray's mother Peggy was allegedly a Satanist and had taken Johnson, so that was the original person, her son to a church where he was forced to watch the beheading of a baby and drink the blood. Apparently.
What?
So it's just crazy stuff. Like, there was no evidence of underground tunnels or anything similar. There were several excavations.
That's more believable than the other.
Well, it's not when
the lack of evidence.
Literally, they try so hard because they did several excavations. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And during the trial, children said that Naked Movie Star was nothing to do with porn. It was just like a rhyme used to like tease others. No, but there's actually, they said the rhyme like more than one of them.
It is
weird.
A bit of a strange.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
What you say is what you are. You're a naked movie star. I don't know what that means, but apparently...
I'm so offended.
That sounds fake, but I think more than one said it.
Oh, because it's like what you see is what you are. So you are looking at naked movie stars, which makes it means
oh,
it's
maybe.
Like what it's like that thing where it's like you are what you eat.
Yeah, maybe, but it's still weird. And why are they looking at a naked movie star?
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, anyway.
But basically, but it was nothing to do with like it was nothing to do with actual porn, apparently, yeah. Like being filmed or whatever. Because the people interviewing, like Key, McFarlane, and everything, yeah. were like. Naked movie star, they must be naked being the star of movies.
Yeah.
They must be making porn films of them, but no, apparently. And they were asked to like identify from pictures, you know, mm-hmm. who abused you, and one of them pointed out Chuck Norris. And said him. I mean, maybe they actually invited Chuck Norris and I'm not taking it seriously enough. Now I'm really actually not taking this seriously, but it's because I already know the ending,
just okay.
so you know. I already know. Well, actually, there is an extra part of the ending, so maybe I should take it more seriously. We'll see that in a second.
Well, I could probably tell you quite comfortably that kid's probably never met Chuck Norris.
Yeah, most likely. I don't think he went there to abuse them in non-existent tunnels. So, the prosecution, they seem to have such dodgy prosecutions in this, like, okay. they're just... I know it's their job, but they're, like, trying so hard to nail it, they're, like,
yeah.
not being good lawyers. I don't know. They withheld information during the trial, including... So they basically said,
that's
you know... Obviously, yeah. You know, yeah. Johnson was actually mentally ill.
Yeah.
They claimed that, like, the trial had caused her to become mentally ill, despite the fact she'd actually, like, confessed it to them beforehand.
Yeah.
So they knew it wasn't... Before it started, they knew it wasn't the trial. But they... only released information on her mental illness after 3 years to the defence.
After 3 years of the trial
yeah.
going on?
They also withheld...
That's a long trial.
I know, it was a really long trial. Ugh. They also withheld the fact... So, you know, I said Johnson couldn't identify Bucky.
Yeah.
They didn't bother to tell anyone that. And
that's pretty crucial.
One of the prosecutors, Stevens, left the prosecution... And he accused the district attorney of lying and withholding evidence to keep the defendants in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just really dodgy, basically. It was like, you know, such a bad trial. But it wasn't just Ray Bucky who was accused. On March 22nd, 1984, a grand jury indicted Ray Bucky, Peggy Ann Bucky, who was his sister, Virginia McMartin.
Okay.
And three other McMartin teachers, Marianne Jackson... How do you say B-E-T-T-E? Is that Betty?
Bet. Because that's like Bette Midler.
Oh, is that how you say her name? Okay. Bette Rader and Babette Spittler. And they were initially indicted, like they called them the McMartin Seven, on 115 counts of child abuse. And 2 months later, an additional 93 indictment counts were added. So similar to with the McEwen-Niffen case, the prosecutor Lael Rubin told the media that the defendants had committed 397 crimes.
That's a lot.
So basically she did what the last people did.
Yeah.
She upped it and told people they did like way more than they were actually...
being tried for.
Yeah. And she also claimed there was 30 more under investigation. Like people, that is.
30 more people?
Yeah. And they also had testimony from jailhouse informant George Freeman, and he'd been Bucky, like Ray Bucky's cellmate.
Okay.
He said he'd admitted to the crimes,
mm-hmm.
as well as saying he'd... So he said, Bucky also said that he'd had an incestuous relationship with his sister and buried the incriminating photos in South Dakota. So when Peggy was questioned, she completely denied all charges against herself and her son, as did Ray. But when Ray was questioned, Lael Rubin, the prosecutor...
Uh-huh.
just persistently asked about the fact that sometimes he didn't wear underwear and he only...
Wait, who didn't wear underwear, sorry?
Ray, sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
But he'd be wearing trousers. It's apparently not...
Maybe he ran out of...
Sometimes didn't... I mean, I guess preference, I don't know. It's not really relevant to prove sexual abuse, basically.
Yeah.
And he owned, like, porn magazines as well. She used those as evidence, I don't know. So, accusations were first made in 1983... But the investigations occurred over the following 3 years until 1987 when the trial began, which then ran for a further 3 years until 1990 when all charges were dropped.
Oh my god.
So
that is so it was a 7 year portion trial of your life to spend like arguing for your innocence.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And not even knowing like where you stand, like exactly. Is it gonna get dropped? Am I convicted? Like what time do I have left? You just don't know. So it lasted 7 years and cost 15
and as well when you're on trial normally you have to stay in jail.
Well, exactly, that's what I mean, yeah. So you're still having all the bad things because you're locked up, but you don't know how long you've got. So yeah, it lasted 7 years and cost $15 million, so making it the longest and most expensive criminal case in US history.
Damn.
Yeah. And it ended with no convictions.
That must be annoying for the prosecutors.
Yeah.
Spend 7 years working on a case and then no one gets...
They also, I don't know if this was included in that time or after, but basically 500 people marched with We Believe the Children signs and got him, you know, they wanted a retrial.
Okay.
So he was tried again, still not convicted. But one McMartin parent called the verdict in the first trial a crime almost equal to the crime that occurred outside the courtroom. And 87% of respondents, like a television poll, thought the Buckeys were guilty. The Buckeys, the McMartins, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, all of it seems... There's not evidence. You know, I said it was proved before. I'm not sure about that. I think it was overturned or something to allow him to not be convicted. So there's no solid evidence and he was, you know, not convicted. Yeah. But in 2014, this is another opinion.
Okay.
Because that's obviously the sort of mainstream idea now that they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because there's just such, like, you know, weird accusations.
Yeah.
And also after, like, and also the fact that a lot of people said nothing had happened until they were told. But Ross E. Chiat, C-H-I-E-T, Chiat? A political science professor at Brown University, published a book, The Witch Hunt Narrative. So he explores, like, a sort of third narrative. So the prosecution are obviously saying he's guilty and the defence is saying he's not. He explored a third narrative, basically saying that the investigation was messed up, but he still believes early accusations against Ray Buckey are based on fact.
Okay.
This is because, like, he had a history of exposing his genitals to or masturbating
Louis
in front
C.K.
of...
You don't know who this is, do you?
No,
a comedian that got...
I've heard of it, but I don't know.
Like, when the whole, like, Time's Up movement, he got exposed. He used to pull his pants down and jerk off in front of women.
Ew.
And he's now going on, he performed at a comedy club for the first time other day.
Seriously?
Since his. Also, did you see Kevin Spacey's newest movie came out? And in its box office weekend, it grossed $618.
Oh my god.
Exactly.
No way, that's hilarious.
Wait, oh, it was like 600 and something, that might be slightly...
Well, still,
but it was,
that's true.
Yeah, less than a grand.
Right, this case is almost finished. So, yeah, he had this history since 1981. And Virginia McMartin's diary had a note from early 1983, so before the first allegations, about an incident involving a child touching Ray's penis. So after all that, there might have been truth to it. But this, like, professor thinks that the whole, like, ridiculous, like, dramatised case undermined the truth.
Yeah.
So I suppose he still did get punishment.
Parts of it are true, but then, like, so basically he thinks that parts of it are true, but then because it was so over the top that it makes the true people
He doesn't even really think what I'm getting from this is that, like, most of it is just, you know, not even exaggeration, but, like, coming from the, like, coercive interviews and everything, and just, but there is some truth behind it, and that kind of gets swept over now.
Okay. But what I will say, just to be controversial, to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, no kids came forward, but then a massive amount did.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, young children often won't come forward because they don't want to get in trouble if they say, like, oh, my teacher's been doing this, they're scared that they're going to get told off. Whereas if someone else has confessed.
But the things they're saying.
Yeah, I know. I'm just...
And if there's no evidence on them, on their bodies.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. And it is difficult, but that's just one opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That might not even be true. He, you know.
Yeah.
It's just another side to it. There's lots of sides. You kind of have to just see what you believe. Like, I definitely don't believe that all of this is true, because obviously, you know, he's flying. They're drilling people, but there's no drilled people.
Yeah.
Obviously not. And I think Key McFarlane isn't very good person.
I know. I think it's really difficult, because, like...
But yeah, I do think...
Then I think of, like, when I've seen interviews of people that have suffered from, like, child sex abuse. And, like, some people get, like, that, like, Jekyll and Hyde thing, like, multiple personalities.
Yeah.
That often comes out if you're abused as a child. And, like...
I'm sure there's...
Like, maybe it was so traumatic that they're, like, because they're really young, they're trying to make it into, like, a fairy tale where he flies, because
that is like that is a good
coping
point in theory, but I think in this case,
yeah,
like if you see the interviews,
mm-hmm.
I was gonna read them to you later,
okay,
but I'll just tell you now, just see if this changes your opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously valid. I'm not saying like that's wrong, but it's just some of the stuff I've seen makes me feel differently.
Okay,
so here's the examples, basically. So a child said he hadn't seen the game Naked Movie Star, and the therapist said, well, what good are you? You must be dumb.
What? The therapist?
Another said, you're just a scaredy cat to a five-year-old, when he wouldn't admit anything happened. A policeman asked another child about sexual games, and when they replied that they didn't know anything about it, he said, did he take your underpants off? Can you say yes? Say yes. Another child was interrogated almost daily for 2 months. He was 11, until he gave in and accused his parents because he couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Another child had a breakdown after 74 interviews. And one woman who'd been interviewed at age 7 said no matter what she said, the therapist insisted she was abused. And although she initially told police she hadn't been molested, she started to question her own memories.
That's
and she still questions her memories.
It might be that type of thing where, like, someone said, like, because you can convince people if you, like, Photoshop loads of pictures of them, like, on a day
them,
out, you can convince
especially
them
when they're that, 7.
Yeah.
You can
plant
that memory.
But you can convince grown adults
but that's
that
really,
they went on a holiday they didn't go on, which
is,
insane.
So, yeah. But it's just difficult. It's really hard with these cases because it, like, almost damages the kids more. Like, calling kids stupid, forcing them to lie. Not always forcing them to lie, but in situations like that, you're trying to... Like, obviously, that wouldn't be what all the interviews are like, but that's, I saw some other things.
Yeah.
That was just top
highlights.
Picks. Yeah, highlights. It's like, they're asking them, they're telling them, you know, they're asking them again if they tell them something. They want them to get somewhere. So I'll just skim over the other cases just quickly. Okay. Just so you can get, like, an idea of, like, just how many there were. So, in 1984, at Fells Acres Daycare Centre, Gerald Amaralt was charged with abusing children in his care. So he'd changed the pants on a boy who'd wet himself. And the boy's uncle, mother and therapist had questioned him over months, this boy, until the boy alleged that Gerald had been sexually abusing him. Gerald was convicted of assaulting and raping 9 children, and... Again, the claims range from bad clowns to robots to magic rooms and tortured animals. And one of the prosecution commented, getting allegations out of the kids was like getting blood from a stone. Like they'd forced it out. And 1995, Dorothy Rabinowitz from the Wall Street Journal claimed no sane person would ever like believe these accusations.
Mm-hmm.
And 2001, the Massachusetts.
I know, that's what
Massachusetts Board of Pardons said his sentence should be reduced, and in 2003 he was paroled. But at the time of release, The Economist claimed that while he did have a string of prominent supporters, many still believed he was guilty.
Okay.
So that's interesting.
But what's difficult is some of these people probably are guilty, but
yeah,
because there's so many non-guilty ones.
But the thing is, that's how, like, we feel like they all look innocent because there's so many.
Yeah.
But actually, at the time, how they felt was, this is real, and whoever gets accused, you know, they're most likely going to get convicted.
Yeah.
It was only later when they started getting overturned. If that makes... That's not really very clear. What is... No, what am I trying to say? Basically, they were really quick to convict people at the time, so it sort of went the other way. But in October 1984, Bernard Baran, he was a teacher's aide, he was 19 and openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
He was accused of molesting a child, but the accusers had previously gone to the board of directors complaining they don't want no homo around their son.
Oh.
So...
Where, what state was that in, sorry?
It... Probably Texas. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not actually sure. There is some Texas stuff going on.
I wasn't sure
but...
if it was still in Massachusetts.
No, no, this is a different one. Okay. But basically what they did, so the daycare centre he worked at put on a puppet show to help the other children open up about abuse and sent a letter home to parents claiming one child had gonorrhea.
Oh.
Which looks dodgy. I don't know if that was true or not.
You can be born with it.
And then they, yeah, well, that would be from your parents then. So then they'd know they had gonorrhea.
Oh.
You don't develop it in the womb. Right. They also questioned children. They questioned children. They had two locations. They questioned children at both locations, even though he didn't work at one of them.
Oh.
And they used anatomically correct dolls, and they got, like, allegations from that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sentenced to 3 life sentences, and his law firm, after he had a failed appeal, they destroyed his defence case file. So from 1999 to 2005, there was a series of hearings, and his defence file had to be recreated. And
oh my God.
A motion for a new trial was submitted containing 300 flaws in original trial, and he was granted a new trial in 2006, and in 2009 the charges were finally dropped.
Okay.
I looked him up and he died in 2013.
How old was he?
So he was 19 in 1984, so he was about 50, just under 50.
Did it say what he died of?
No, I can't remember.
God.
I obviously did say, but I don't remember. I just looked up a picture of him.
That's
because
really
I don't know, I like to see what they all kind of look like, to put like the face to the
says us
name.
You thus far are anonymous.
Not for long.
Check our Twitter. Coffee_crime.
The little promo. This is, like, not... There's not much left, by the way. But at the Country Walk Babysitting Service, they faced allegations in 1985. Frank Fuster was found guilty on 14 counts of abuse after leading children in satanic rituals, forcing them to watch mutilation of birds, things like that.
Oh, God.
And, but he had previous convictions, manslaughter and follow...
Manslaughter, and he was working at a...
And fondling a 9-year-old.
And he was working at a daycare centre.
So, the other... It's difficult.
Sorry.
Because, yeah, that's obviously... He seems pretty guilty. But his wife testified against him. But only because she was kept naked and solitary. And, like, solitary confinement. And subjected to other forms of physical and psychological duress. As of June 2017, he is still serving a 165-year sentence. So that
How have they all got such long sentences?
I know. So many counts, I guess. And it's children.
Like, again, when I did my solitary confinement dissertation, I think his name's, like, Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
The guy who did the Boston bombing. Boston Marathon bombing. Which, there's a new movie with Jake Gyllenhaal in based on that.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal obsession.
Yeah, the guy that did that, I think he got, like, maybe 500, 600 years. But, like, that's not that much longer than these.
I know.
And he killed, like, a
lot
of people.
They get insane. But I think it's because there was such, like, hysteria at the time. They just wanted to... they just wanted to, like, really nail them down.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They were just really mad. I don't know. That sounds dumb. Anyway... Bronx Five in 1985, all convictions eventually overturned. Obviously, that's 5 people.
Yeah.
Bronx Five.
I think I've heard of... no, not heard of them.
We Care. Like, we, like, W-E-E, but, like, We Care is weird. I don't know where the name comes from. We Care. Maybe, like, We Care, because they're caring for wee people, like, small people. You know, like, Scottish. A wee
Oh, is this
child.
In Scotland?
No. is in America. I don't know. We care nursery school, okay. Anyway. Margaret Kelly Michaels. Basically, a four-year-old boy in 1985 who went there was getting his temperature checked, like, rectally by a doctor. Yeah, that happened. He's four, so... No, because it's only small. Like, it's not going to hurt.
Oh, I know.
And he said, that's what my teacher does to me at nap time. And he named Kelly as his abuser.
Oh, no.
And he confirmed his accusation, like, when he was questioned and claimed he'd seen two other young boys being hurt by her. And so they asked these two boys who he'd said he'd seen be hurt by her, and they denied, one of them denied all knowledge, but the other said he'd been kicked in the groin and locked in a small room, and she apparently penetrated their rectums and vaginas with knives, forks and other objects, hopefully backwards, up. I don't know, anyway, that's horrible, hopefully neither way, actually, but, forced them to eat cakes made from human excrement, made them play duck-duck-goose naked.
Slow down, I need to absorb.
You need to absorb. Yeah, but we're never going to get to finish.
How much longer is it?
Not too long. Played and sang Jingle Bells at the piano while naked. And apparently the children started, like, regressing into behaviours like wetting the bed.
Oh.
So, things like that. And she was sentenced to 47 years but successfully appealed 5 years later. The children had been coerced. Again. I don't have much more information on that because I was like, this is going to take too long, but I can look into that later. Basically, that they're more like reasonable allegations.
Yeah.
So that's a difficult one. But also the trial, I think, was mishandled as well, so it is all a bit messy, like a lot of these.
No.
So, seven arrested at Little Rascals Daycare 1989. Two were allowed a retrial, and those two had the charges dropped, which is a bummer for the rest of them.
Mm.
Okay, so developmentally delayed Dale Aikiki was accused of satanic ritual abuse in 1991. He was first accused of showing a girl his penis, then other children started with, you know, allegations, like from questioning and everything. He was accused of killing giraffes and elephants and drinking their blood. Where is he getting the giraffes and elephants in America? Overall, he was just found not guilty,
okay.
And he filed a huge suit. He did way better than others because he got $2 million.
Damn.
So, I mean, it's probably still not that worth it, but, you know, bit better. Well, depends how long he was in the trial for.
Yeah.
And then in Oak Hill, Frances Keller and husband Dan Keller were accused of satanic ritual abuse in Texas, 1991, sentenced to 28 years, but released in 2013 after 21 years when they were found innocent. 21 years is so long.
Oh, my God. At least...
So this is like what they were accused of. This just gets so out of hand, like served blood laced Kool-Aid, forced them into child porn. That's like kind of a bit more standard accusations,
yeah.
But sometimes wore white robes when carrying these things out, forced children to watch dismemberment.
KKK.
Yeah. After sacrificing dogs, cats and a baby. The children were apparently forced on a trips to Mexico on a plane where they would travel to be sexually abused by soldiers but brought back in home.
In a school day?
But they were, yeah, brought back home in time to be picked up. I don't know. And it was later...
Wait, where were they? Texas?
Yeah.
To be fair, that's very close to Mexico. They're, like, bordering.
But how would teachers afford...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying...
If they had a private plane, you could make it, I'd say.
You can drive.
No, they said they were flown.
Okay, you can fly.
I think. Yeah, trips to Mexico on a plane. If they had a private plane, but how are they going to... hire a private plane, they're teachers, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it was later revealed there was false testimony, again by children and also medical experts, and in 2017. So think about that, that's last year, and this happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
But they, or 90s actually, but still, early 90s. They were awarded $3.4 million anyway in compensation.
Wow.
But for 21 years, I'd rather
that
just live some
out
life.
At 0.7... What's 3 divided by 21? 1/7. 1/7 of...
Just use your calculators right there.
Hang on. I'm trying to work out how much a year. So 3 divided by 21. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well, 3.4.
142,000
per year. But it's 3.4 million. So yeah, a bit more than that.
Well,
so it's a pretty good salary, but it's not a good salary for being in prison when you're innocent. So basically that carried on.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit more, and like all over the world, like New Zealand, Canada, Brazil.
Wow.
It sort of like spread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Oh, one more actually. Wenatchee Child Abuse 1994 and 1995, where police and social workers undertook the most extensive investigation in the nation, with 43 adults arrested on a total of nearly 30,000 charges.
Jeez.
And then Pastor Robert Robertson criticised it. So they were like, yeah, we'll charge you with 11 counts.
Oh.
And the convictions were all either overturned or the defendants pleaded guilty on lesser charges later.
Mm.
Like, all convictions overturned, or they, you know, yeah, just slightly changed it. That's crazy. But anyway, that's that. That's all the cases that I mentioned, which is quite a lot. So yes, sorry.
That's okay.
But basically, why did it happen?
It kind of reminds me of the McCarthyism.
It is
Red Scare.
Obviously, it's actually been, like, parallels have been drawn to the sort of original witch hunt, the actual Salem witch hunt. But then it's been criticised because even at the actual, like, in, is that like 1600s?
Yeah.
Even there, maybe even before that, they were granted an apology and compensation, and many of these...
But a lot of them were dead.
Well, apparently, well,
they were killing,
I don't know. It was criticised. I read, like, it was like Washington Post or New York Times or something. You know, they had apologies, but a lot of these people haven't received apologies, or it took a long time anyway. Haven't been acknowledged in the same way.
Excused.
Yeah, excused. Yeah, true. They did die, didn't they?
I don't think the Salem ones did, but most witches were just killed. I don't think so.
Yeah, I love that test where it's like, we'll dip you in the water, and if you drown, you're innocent.
Yeah, and if you float, you're a witch. Well,
or something like that, but then we'll kill you anyway,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, and then if you float, you're a witch, and then they execute you by burning you at the stake.
Jesus.
Which is a super great test. Also, barely anyone would float. Who floats?
Yeah, I know. I don't think they cared that much to see people
exactly
live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, I assume you're, like, strapped into the chair.
I don't... Yeah, because don't you, like... I didn't know if it was if you floated. I thought it was, like, when they, like, dunk you in a few times, like, if you don't die or something. Who knows? Something gross, something horrible where you die either way, basically. So, pretty much, there is the common theme that there was... like improper interview methods in loads of them, like coercion and repeated questioning, so it makes the children feel like they're not giving the right answers, so they want to give more, and like putting under pressure and everything, like your friends have already testified. So sort of reasons why it might have happened, apart from that, there's obviously a reason why they might have got convicted and why it was accepted, but the reason why it might have started was because women were starting to go to work more and they were having to leave their children in daycare.
Oh.
So there's like the argument that there was the anxiety and guilt that they were leaving their kids with strangers, so they were
lashing out.
Yeah, and they're protective of their kids as well, and they're worried, and they, you know, maybe feel bad, so they want to, they feel really guilty
if their
kids have undergone something, so they want to make it right.
Yeah.
And try and, you know, be really, take a harsh standpoint. Mm-hmm. And there were other issues going on at the time in American society. So Richard Beck investigated this in a book, and he cites fear of crime, homophobia, such as that, and decline in respect for traditional authority as potential reasons, apparently. So I think it's just society changing.
Yeah.
And
satanic
people
panic.
Like, that's obviously linking in, and people are just, but obviously there must have been a reason for that in the first place as well.
Yeah.
But people are just really concerned. Apparently there was, so Reagan was elected around the time, and it had been helped by conservative evangelicals. Mm. They helped elect him, and
he's awful.
Their belief, a lot of them, was porn, gays, and women had run amok. So that's obviously going to factor in.
Yeah,
there's like all these worries in American society.
Yeah.
About...
Also, he was like the war war on drugs and stuff, crime.
So. And at the time, a prominent psychologist, Roland Summit, had theorised that children were not psychologically capable of lying about sex abuse. So people...
Mm-hmm.
There's all this, like, fake, like, medical expert testimony, which is really annoying, because I feel like that's something I would believe, because it's like, what do I believe? Well, I'll believe the expert. This is their job.
Yeah.
Because you can't distrust... Well, no, you should have, like, distrust for everything to a certain extent, but you can't just believe nothing and...
Exactly.
I don't know, like, where do you... What do you believe if, like, the
experts
are
contradicting
lying
each other? Which one do you trust more?
And of course, there were actually genuine cases at the time as well.
Yeah.
So, like, some of them we've heard. And also, Arnold Friedman was a beloved and award-winning teacher in New York. But the police discovered in 1987... I don't know where you get these, but he had child porn magazines.
Do you get them probably on...
But they've built a whole magazine out of it.
Black market.
Yeah, maybe.
Quite a few. Like, same with, like, you can get, like, bondage.
Is that just, like...
porn magazines.
Yeah, but bondage porn's probably not illegal.
No, but...
Whereas child porn is.
Yeah, I know.
But I wonder if it's like... Because I picture that as like a proper put-together magazine.
Yeah.
Like with captions and everything.
Yeah, probably.
And articles.
If it sells, it sells. So people make it.
Anyway, it's not certain if he was...
Because they're terrible people, I just have to add that in.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying that they should.
That's okay, yeah. But it's not certain whether he was just a paedophile or a paedophile who acted on his paedophilia. So yeah. that's still unclear. But, you know, there was some truth.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be, however horrible it is, like, child sex abusers. So I don't see how that's evidence. But anyway, there was things. Mm. And, like, the main thing, this is the last thing now, the main thing is, like, the we believe the children thing.
Yeah.
Parents don't want to doubt their kids.
No.
And why would they make it up? And how would they have this much detail?
Yeah, that's
but sometimes kids just know, like, do know things that you don't expect them to, I think,
true.
As well. And also, if they're using anatomically correct dolls. So what they did, though, which was a problem, this was, like, a sort of barrier to justice in that they, a lot of the time, they were like, if you don't believe the children, are you a sex offender? Like, what?
Yeah, like, if you don't... Like, if you don't
support
this,
like, why would they...
McCarthyism, like, if you don't say that your friends are communist, are you a communist?
Yeah, exactly, like, The last thing is also the argument that... Especially, like, stay-at-home mothers.
Yeah.
But all parents, really. It gives them a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
They're fighting for something for their children. They're trying to help their children. And they
and
can stand
people.
For something.
And their community.
Yeah, and their community and bring about some change in the world. So that's kind of the argument. I don't know if you have any more ideas that you want to add.
I don't know. I feel very conflicted.
It is really hard. But I think...
Obviously, some of it, I think, is true.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You can't disbelieve all of it because of some things, but the fact that it is sort of known to be, like, hysteria.
Yeah.
That's what it's called now, because it was just, like,
people
a huge...
heard about it, and then they were like, "This, I don't want this happening to my kids," so they were trying to just...
Yeah.
Panicking, basically.
Mm-hmm. So, basically, that's the story. Of daycare sex abuse hysteria.
That was not at all what I was expecting it to be when you first said the title, for some reason. I thought, I don't know, I was thinking of a different thing that was like a BuzzFeed Unsolved episode. That was.
Well, I hope that was different and new. I thought it was different to what we usually do.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd try
that
it out.
Very different.
Right, do you want to give a teaser for your next one? Or keep complete surprise?
I
can't talk
it
at this point.
It's a complete surprise, because if I say, then you'll know who it is.
Okay.
It has to be a surprise.
Okay, right. So
I'm excited.
See you
next
week.
I say that every episode, but I am very excited. But...
I'm excited too. Right. Okay, see you next week.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Miami.
Goodbye.